listening to ABC Radio Brisbane.
Well, last week the state government opened a new park and ride next to the Springfield Central train station with a price tag of $44.5 million to build and offers an additional 580 car parks. Currently there are around 158 park and ride facilities with more than 32,000 car spaces available at train stations across Greater Brisbane. But according to my next guest, he says that this isn't the best use of taxpayer money and other solutions should be being looked at. One solution could be paid parking. Robert Dow is from Rail Back on Track. Good afternoon, Robert.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Should the Queensland Government be investing in these large park and ride facilities like the one at Springfield Central?
Yeah, the one at Springfield Central is a very expensive one. As you pointed out, it's about $86,000 per car parking space for a gain of about $520, it was in actual fact. That's quite expensive. Most of the surface car parks, the cost per space is roughly $20,000 to $30,000 per space. Springfield is very expensive because it's a multi-storey parking facility. I went out and had a look at it on Friday. It's quite an impressive structure. About 400 or 500 metres, though, from Springfield Central Station, and the access paths are still not finished at this time.
So can you just describe it to us? It is a multi-storey one rather than a sort of flat level park and ride.
Yeah, it has actually five storeys. It has a spiral driveway in the centre to access the various levels. You get into this spiral driveway. I suppose it's sufficient in terms of the space that they had available. It has a large triangular structure. In the centre, you've got this sort of spiral corkscrew drive going up to the top, and every level you can turn off onto the various parking levels. It's quite an impressive looking structure for a car park, but boy, it's a very expensive structure. I think we're reaching a point in southeast Queensland where the authorities need to consider perhaps a paid park and ride charge. It's only a nominal charge. In Western Australia and Transperth, they do park and ride and other modes to get people to and from the stations very well. They charge $2 a day to park at a railway station over in Perth. It's paid with their Smart Rider card, which is equivalent to our go-kart. And it has some advantages in that it restricts that parking to genuine public transport passengers, and it acts as a form of rationing, if you like, on the car parking spaces. Your listeners would know that quite often, unless they get early into some of these park and rides, they can't get a space. So they're either faced with illegal car parking, overflow car parking around the streets, which makes it very difficult for residents. So we're reaching a point where perhaps we need to look at a nominal park and ride charge for the reasons that I've just outlined.
Does the park and ride charge of, as you say, a nominal fee, say $2, does that change behaviour? Does it stop people from, you know, taking up a park unnecessarily?
Well, it does seem to work very well in Perth. I've been over a few times to have a look at it, and it works very well. The thing about Perth, though, is that they do have very good supporting feeder bus networks and active transport options. Now, TransLink does have a access hierarchy when it comes to accessing public transport stations, be they rail or bus, and they wish to prioritise active, which is walking and cycling and perhaps even scooters. And then the next level is feeder buses. Now, Springfield Central was originally only going to have 100 car parking spaces, right?
Yeah.
It is now up to 1,100 because the original intention was to roll out very good feeder bus support. If people have a look at Springfield Central Station, they'll see that there's five bus bays, and only one of these, or maybe two, is used because the intention was to have very good supporting feeder buses. Now, that never happened. So that put enormous pressure on the parking, and we've seen a sort of a confused series of car park expansions which really are quite disconnected and don't make any real logical sense, because Springfield Central was never really designed to have a large car park.
Yeah, so you're saying that instead of investing in those expensive park and ride facilities like this one we're talking about at Springfield, you say that feeder bus services are required and we should be investing in those. But the state government would tell us, Rob, that, you know, this is what people want. This is, people want to be able to drive directly to their local train station, and they want to be able to leave their car there for the day and commute into the city or wherever they have to work.
Oh, look, we agree. You do need some park and ride, and we support that. But the actual hierarchy of access really is to prioritise active transport, then feeder buses, taxis, and kiss and ride. Yeah, when people get dropped off at station, and then the final bottom level of the hierarchy is park and ride. Now, park and ride is expensive. It costs a lot to maintain. The security features of park and ride, closed circuit TV, lighting, all cost money to maintain, and it's a drain on the public transport budget. Now, what we need to do is look at, is there an alternative to an improved feeder bus system? We've suggested that perhaps they need to consider what we call station buses. Now, these are not the route buses we see around Brisbane running from activity centre to activity centre, suburb to suburb, but smaller buses, perhaps these could be electric, that run from residents out in the suburbs to their station, not necessarily from suburb to suburb, but just connect residents to their station in an easy way to get to and from the station, rather than having to worry about driving, which adds to the local congestion and just making it worse for everyone. Yeah, we need a balance. We need a proper balance between improved active transport support, feeder buses and park and ride. But we're suggesting that it's time that we looked at some nominal charge on park and ride to act as a way of rationing it. People who start late in the morning, say 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock shift workers, they can't park at railway stations because they can't get a space.
Mm. So the whole public good becomes useless to them.
Exactly. So a nominal charge does work. It helps to defray the maintenance costs of these car parks. It provides a little bit more investment money for more park and rides. And I think the outcome is much, much better. You see what's happening in Perth, it works very well. We can do the same and we can end up with a much better community transport outcome throughout South East Queensland. Now, we're not saying that you need to charge for park and ride out at Rosewood, for example, but as you move into these bigger residential areas where you've got massive investment, $44.5 million in the car park, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
Mm. On ABC Radio Brisbane, we're coming up to the 4 o'clock news. I'm speaking to Robert Dow, who is the from Rail Back on Track. Robert, you're right to say that it does require a whole of government change of thinking here. Is some of the problem that we're going to have to come across is that we've got local governments with different jurisdictions and then a state government making the final decision?
Yeah, so you've hit the nail on the head there, Rachel. We've been suggesting for some time that in Queensland we need a proper public transport authority, as they have in Western Australia. They have the Public Transport Authority over there, which ties all this together and gets better outcomes. Now, we're going to see this happen again, Rachel, shortly. They're building three new railway stations on the Gold Coast line as part of the Cross River Rail expansion, Hope Island, Merrimack and Pimpana. They're going into Hope Island with only 179 car parks. Well, that's not enough.
Mm.
They really need 500, to be honest, but they need also very good active transport support and feeder bus.
Robert Dow, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're coming up to the 4 o'clock news. But thank you so much. We'll have to talk about that issue again another day. After the news, forget opinion polls.